Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. Tara and I are in the studio, and we have been discussing Jesus' baptism, and we've talked about John. And we're going to discuss the difference of John with the repentance and preparing the way for Jesus to come, for what baptism means to us today.
That's so good. That's so good. I'm so excited. Yeah, and we're so glad you're listening to us. We don't have any of our peeps.
No peeps.
This particular segment, they are all busy with either camps or something. It's what happens in the summer. We end up missing the little peoples, even though they're big peoples. Sorry, wasn't littling you guys. So we are working on the baptism of Jesus. And what I want to make sure I clarify is that as I'm telling the baptism story, we're going to go through Mark 1, 9 through 13, Matthew 3, 13 through 17, and Luke 3, 21 through 22. And so what I have done is I have crafted together what would be a chronological story summary. So this is not a scripture reading, but as much as it's a scripture summary telling. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Putting in chronological order what happens within the different gospels. So the Bible tells us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, that one day as John was preaching, he looked up and he saw that Jesus was walking up to him. Jesus had traveled all the way from Galilee for John to baptize him. And John tried to stop Jesus. He's like, I need to be baptized by you. Why do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now, because it's proper in order for us to do, in order to fulfill righteousness. So John consented. And as John was baptizing Jesus, Jesus prayed. As Jesus came up out of the water, heaven opened up, and John saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus as a dove. And at that very moment, the voice from heaven called out and said, you are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. Just at this time, Jesus was about 30 years of age. And almost immediately, the Holy Spirit led Jesus out into the desert, and after fasting for 40 days, Jesus was tempted by Satan. Jesus countered every temptation that Satan put before him with the word of God. And the devil left Jesus for a more opportune time, and the angels attended to him. It was at this point Jesus, in obedience, began his ministry. I love this passage because it shows us that Jesus walked in obedience. Mm-hmm. And as we go further along, we will see that this passage provides us clear indication that it has the Father, because the voice of heaven, the dove is the Holy Spirit, and Jesus as the Son. And so as he was going forward in baptism, Jesus said it's to fulfill righteousness now. And so I wanted to clarify what we think what that means. Why would Jesus need to be baptized? Why do you think that he needed to follow through with baptism?
I think that comes back to obedience again.
Yeah.
You know, that's what God wanted him to do. That was God's plan.
It is, completely.
Yeah.
And so it also, one of the things that is key is that it actually gives us a role model.
Mm, I was going to say that too, yeah. Everything Jesus does is our model.
Exactly. And he's trying to teach us what we need to do. But he also is identifying with us as a sinner.
Mm.
And so his baptism and fulfilling righteousness in that moment identifies with us as a sinner. And then when he when he dies on the cross, that's when he's fulfilling his identification with us as a sinner. And then his resurrection is the fulfillment of it. The other identification is hanging on the cross. So the beginning is the following through with baptism, showing that we're beginning in our ministry of obedience, and then the finishing of his ministry of obedience happens at the cross. And so recognizing that it was to identify with us as humans so that we can recognize that he understands the process of what is expected of us because he was willing to walk.
And that was the purpose of the wilderness too.
Right.
That he went through all the temptations that we will go through and have gone through.
Yeah.
But like you said at the beginning, the word of God always triumphs over that.
Yeah. Yeah. The word of God, yes, trumps all things.
Yep.
That's so good. The other thing we want to see is that because this is the beginning of Jesus's ministry and the voice of God speaks, it is the authentication. I can't speak. Can I say this word? The authentication of Jesus's ministry. So the Father says, my son, listen to him. I'm well pleased. And so it's God saying, I authenticate what he's doing.
Can you imagine being there when that happened? I'm just like, wow, God's voice.
I know.
You know, in the New Testament twice. Right. So, yeah, like we talked on the first segment, the transfiguration, and then here.
Right. And if you take into account the fact that they had 400 years of silence.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's really
spectacular. And a couple of shows, we will go into what actually happened at the moment that the voice of God speaks. But for now, I just want you to know that it's to authenticate. I can't even say the word still. The other thing is the voice of heaven's praise. Mm. We have to recognize God praises his son. So he's authenticating the ministry, and he is praising him. And that is God showing to us how we should respond to Jesus. Mm-hmm. That if he is pleased, then we should also be pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so it's to identify with us as a sinner, to authenticate his ministry, to allow us to see the voice of heaven praising the Son. It is also to show us the presence of the Holy Spirit. Mm. That the presence of the Holy Spirit. So when the dove lands on him, the coming of the Holy Spirit, he is present. He is with him. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we too will have the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then the last one is not just the presence of the Holy Spirit, but to show that there is power that comes with the Holy Spirit. So as God is authenticating his ministry, showing that he is praising him and showing that he is giving him the Holy Spirit, he's showing the presence of him, but he's showing the power that is going to come because he has the presence of the Holy Spirit in him. So we have all three of the Trinity at work in this moment in the baptism. And it sure would be easy to let these short few verses, because Mark only gives four verses on it, Matthew gives four verses on it, and Luke gives three. It would be very, very easy. And John the Baptist doesn't, I mean, John, not John the Baptist, John, the book of John, doesn't even mention the baptism.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And so what we have to understand is this is very important for us to see. And so when I believe in Christ, when I have identified that Jesus on the cross for my sins, when I identify with him, then I am blessed with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit sealing me, just as it did with Jesus on the day of his baptism. It happens with me. Mm-hmm. And then when I repent of my sins, I am showing that I have actually walked through, because John was saying you need to repent, baptism of repentance. So now let's look into that, because we said we were going to bring that up. The baptism of repentance, there was, for the people, the Jews back then, this was not unusual. In fact, they would not have considered it strange for somebody to take a total immersion in a bath of water. In fact, when we go to Israel, one of the things that we do is we go to the teaching steps where Jesus teaches. And in the front of Israel, they have all these levitas. I'm saying that wrong. I just went blank on the Hebrew word, and I apologize for that. The baths, and they're huge, and they would walk down in them, and they'd wash before they would go into the temple. Mm-hmm. And so baptism by immersion actually was to show that they were washing themselves to get ready to go to be in the Holy of Holies. So That was not new to them, but to tell a Jew to submit to baptism that was for repentance was to say that they were like a heathen Gentile. And so they really had issue with that, because that would have been a radical rededication, because it was saying that they were that unclean, and it was like putting them into the category of the heathen. So John was wanting them to understand that they needed to move in action. It was more than just their feelings. They had to have the action that showed that the heart was changed, and because they weren't getting it. And so it's showing that they need to have a redirection. So John's baptism represented the person's need to get right with God, whereas Christ's baptism identifies us with Christ's death and resurrection that took care of us being right with God. So John's was about cleanliness and getting right, whereas Jesus's, I took care of it, and it's identifying. And that's the reason why he identified with us with the baptism. That's the difference between their baptisms of repentance. So we can look at, let's go to Romans 6, Sandy, if you don't mind, and let's read what it says in Romans 6, verses 3 through 4. And this is where Scripture tells us what our immersion in the water, how it identifies with Jesus' death and resurrection. This is where Scripture shows us.
All right, 6.
Verses 3 through 4.
Okay. I'm there. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
It's to give us that blessing. Remember when I said when we have that sin that separates us from God? The blessing comes with the repentance, and then with the baptism, as we are doing that, it's saying, I identify with Christ. So the baptism doesn't save, it's an identification. It is something that shows that you're fulfilling righteousness in your life by obeying, because he identified with you. You are identifying with him in his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people think that baptism saves them, but it doesn't. It's just like an outright message to everybody that you've accepted Christ into your heart.
It's the identification.
Yeah,
the identification. And it's really fun in that recently I was at a speaking engagement, and this mom had come to me, and she's just having a radical ministry with reaching a group of girls. And they're coming to know the Lord, and they're, we want you to baptize us. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't know how to do this. How do I do this? And we're going to meet in my hot tub. And she's like, what do I say? What do I do? And it's like, well, you need to make sure that they understand mm-hmm. that the baptism does not save them. You need to make sure that they understand that the purpose of baptism is to show that they identify with what Christ did for them. And then typically a person, when they're being baptized, it is said within what would be considered evangelical Protestant tradition, it would be, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in a new life. And the key is that you're showing, you're fulfilling that righteousness now to go walk in the freedom, not by sin, because of what he did for you on the cross.
I remember I was like 12 when I was baptized first, but I sadly walked away from following Jesus. And I remember then he just laid it on my heart so heavy that I needed to be baptized, and I did in a later life, and I was so thankful I did that.
That's beautiful. I love how God, he is so faithful in bringing us where we need to be. And so John the Baptist did this in order to help us with the people. So he was helping the people to show them they needed to get right with God, preparing them so that when Jesus came and Jesus was there for them to follow, that they would identify with him. And so everything John did was with the intent to get their eyes on Jesus, to get their focus on him. And that's just beautiful to me. It just feels so good to think on and how. And so when we repent, the danger of repentance is that we can often allow our focus to be on the feeling instead of the change.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to understand that if it's true repentance,
you see change.
There's going to be an action.
Right.
That where it wells up from the heart, but the mind, the body, the spirit, every aspect of that person, it'll be different. And so it causes a change of the mind and an action of the body.
I had a pastor that used to say, a changed life is a changed life. And I loved that. It always sticks with me, like, people notice if you've changed. They'll tell you. I know I had many friends tell me, what happened to you? You've changed. That's the best compliment you can get, that it's recognizable.
It is.
Even that you're following Jesus.
Even when the friends may not like the
change. They don't like it all the time. You're right. You lose friends sometimes.
Yeah.
But you gain the best friend ever, Jesus.
I know. I was explaining that to one of my girls the other day in college, my friend group. I just knew we were going to be friends for life because we were so close. Like, I couldn't imagine a group of people I was more intimate with as far as like conversations and thoughts and discussions and sitting. We could sit for hours and hours and hours, and it never seemed like we would ever end. And then God, I just started doing a radical thing in me and reading the Word, and I started walking in that righteousness and in obedience. And then eventually, like, they contacted me. Like, one of them was over specifically Facebook, and it's funny because that was many years after. Because Facebook didn't exist when we were in college. and she just informed me, I don't want to be your Facebook friend. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know what to say. And she's like, I just don't want to follow what you're about.
And that happens.
And so a shedding and a transformation takes place in all kinds of levels. And I wasn't even aware that I had changed,
Until people tell you. You're right. It's just like you just thought it was
normal.
Normal, yeah.
Right, because it's happening.
Because it felt normal.
It feels right.
Yeah.
That's the part, is it feels right because the blessing of God is upon the one that is willing to repent. Acts 3:19 says that if you repent and turn to Christ, turn to God, he will give you times of refreshing and he will give you the Christ. Mm. And so the blessing is so amazing that you aren't aware something drastic has happened, but others will see it. On some levels, and then other levels, you're so aware it's drastic. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's an oxymoron that's hard to explain until you've been through it. Thanks for listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.